It's 408, 85 degrees here at 590 WKZO in Kalamazoo. And this portion of the program is brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house every Saturday from 10 until 2. We talked about a lot of things here on the program, and as always, when we talk about, well, anything for that matter, we invite you to be a part of the program, and you can do so in one of a couple of different ways. You can, of course, give us a call at one of two numbers, 382-4280, or if you're outside the local area, you can call 877-382-4280. And also, you can text us, and you can do so at 803-73. If you don't have time to be on the phone with us, you just text us, and you can be a part of the program that way. And if you've listened at all to the program, you know we do share some of those texts as they come in. You can be a part of the program that way. And we wanted to talk a little bit about immigration, specifically of the illegal variety, because there's been a lot of news about more and more kids coming across the border, unattended kids. People are either sending them or sending for them. And we catch them. What do we do with them? What happens? And I think, you know, you can dig through this information. Ted Cruz has said that that you're seeing a huge spike in illegal immigration. Of course, he's pointing at President Obama, says Obama's lawlessness is what's responsible for that. Now, the other part of it is that, and other Republicans are pointing at a 2012 policy that relaxed deportations. I think you can look at another thing, too, to be able to say, well, when he was talking about, you know, a lot of these dreamers and, you know, I liked the Dream Act, but it never did get passed, so we're just going to enforce it like it did. And that's a bit of a problem, because now you're seeing an awful lot of people going, oh, if we just send our kids over there, then, you know, that's amnesty for kids, so there you go. And then you end up with a problem. They're saying that it's a 12-fold spike in numbers that are pouring across the border at this particular point. And chairman of the House Judiciary is saying an administration-made disaster. Now get this. In the middle of all this, President Obama is saying it's an urgent humanitarian situation and is setting aside $2 million to pay for lawyers for these kids. Now, I don't know. I'm scratching my head a little bit because, you know, I know they're kids, but they're also illegals sent across the border illegally. And we've got to find a way to be able to keep them from getting here. And I think $2 million for that, maybe, oh, I don't know, $2 million to at least head towards the idea of securing the border. It's something that people on both sides of the aisle have said, you know what? Regardless of how we solve the problems of immigration, and I think there are problems there, we need to be able to secure the border. And it's something we haven't done. If we can do that first, say, all right, you know what? We got all these laws. Let's start enforcing them. Let's start talking about ways to enforce the law and ways to stop people at the border, turn them around, send them back. But that's not being done. And in these cases, I mean, you're hearing all kinds of news about this. I mean, I've tried to read into it, and I mean, I could spend hours just reading about this because there's an awful lot of different stories and nuances to this. Now, it might be the thing that President Obama is hoping for as well, because this gets eyes off of the Bo Bergdahl story, which continues to develop. And if we've got time, we'll talk about it a little bit later. Now, it's just interesting to see all of this coming together. All of this coming together, and it's causing humanitarian issues. The president has said so himself. And I think, yeah, short term, you got to find ways to help people, but long term, you can't just say, well, you're here now. Okay. Even if it's a child, you've got to figure out a way to get the child back with the word that, you know what, we're not going to see this child again in the United States unless they get here legally now, are we? And find some way to get that enforced. Now, they're saying a lot of these kids are coming not just from Mexico, but from Central American countries. It's what they're dealing with a lot in Texas, is that, you know, they're coming from the Central American countries. There's unrest there. But at the same time, there are organizations that are saying, well, wait a minute. Human traffickers are actually being benefited by this whole idea of, well, we're not going to enforce this, and we're not going to do that. Well, you know, because now there's a business to get people here. So once they get here, oh, well, you know, amnesty. And I think that's the big issue when you talk about immigration. Okay. I think, you know, there's several sides to this. And let's dig through these one at a time. Because, you know, you talk about the original idea, oh, well, the Dreamers. You know, these are kids who have been here since they were very little. And America is their home. They've been here for so long. And guess what? We've not been watching the borders. We've not been minding the store. And these kids are here. And America is home. Well, something does need to be done there. And I will admit that. Something needs to happen because these kids think of America as their home. And by and large, it probably is. On the other side of it, though, you can't just say, well, okay, here's a free ticket in. Because of what it communicates to others. They got a free ticket in. If we just get our kids there, they'll get a free ticket in. Let's do that. Well, that's causing more illegal things to go on. And the other part of it is, let's stop defining this as undocumented workers or undocumented immigrants. It's illegal. They crossed the border. They did so against the law. That's called illegal. Just by very nature, it's illegal. Now, there's another angle to it that needs to be discussed. Reforming legal immigration and make it so it's easier for people to get here. Because if it's tough to get here, of course they're going to say, oh, nobody's watching the border over there. Let's go. I understand that. I get that. I don't agree with it, but I get it. But what needs to happen before all of this, before we sit down and have a discussion on how are we going to make this work, we need to all agree on this. The border needs to be secured for a variety of reasons, for a big variety of reasons, not least of which is, you know, they're saying, well, the war on terror is winding down. Somebody tell the terrorists that. If they know they can get in here, you think they're going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely going to do it. They're going to come here because, oh, it's easy. Yeah. It's easy to sneak across the border. There's tunnels. There's trucks coming across, you know, every day. There's easy ways to do it. So there's one big reason to secure the border. But another big reason to secure the border, I think, is, you know, and they've talked about, well, there's certain jobs Americans just aren't willing to do. Well, I don't know. Let's find out. Because, you know, and I know I've lived close to places where you could hear, yeah, there's immigrants over there working, and it would be on a holiday where you knew most other businesses aren't working. Guess what? Odds are good that it's illegals over there that are working on this thing right now. And, you know, it's a guess, but it's a guess that's probably a fairly well-educated one, based on what you've seen. And that's the kind of thing that we're dealing with. We need to secure the border, but then I think also enforce the laws. Enforce the laws of this country. It's something where, think about this. We talk about this as an issue. Obama's saying, oh, humanitarian crisis. We need to take care of this. We need to make sure that this is taken care of. Congress. They're going to say, oh, we need to make sure we're taking care of the problem. Then they'll pass a law, everybody will feel good, and no one will bother to enforce it. And that's the big issue with all of it. And I think that's an issue that, I mean, as an American citizen, I don't know about you, but I do take issue myself with the idea that they're passing laws and they don't bother to enforce them. Immigration laws are a great example of that. Well, let's pass a law to do this, this, and that. Okay, great. Are we enforcing it? No. Why did we pass it if we're not going to bother to enforce it? And, you know, there's part of that. There's part of that with just carrying it out at a government level. The other part of it is when you see an administration going, well, we don't like this part of this law that was passed, so we're just not going to enforce that. But we're going to enforce this part over here because we like that part. So we like this and this, but not that and that. So we're just going to enforce part of the law. And the other part, forget it. See, that's bad. That's bad because by nature, you know, a law has been passed. It's on the books. Enforce the law. And if you're not going to do it, repeal the law. One could say the same thing about Obamacare with all these delays that have happened. But the bottom line is this. Fix, I mean, build a fence, do something. Do something at the border where you can go, okay, now it's secure. And you'd say, well, we got pretty big borders. Yeah, we do. But part of what the government is mandated to do in the Constitution is to protect this country, to have a military, to have protection for this nation. And it seems like we're so interested in spending money on this, that, and the other that we don't have time for this one. You know, let's spend money on social issues and programs and this and that other thing and this pet program and this project. And, oh, well, dinosaur bones in China, we got to study those. And cow flatulence, let's make sure we get a whiff of that. But we're doing all these things, and we're not doing the job that the government's not doing the job it was designed to do, which is protect this country. I don't know about you, but it's an issue for me. And it's an issue that, you know, I think, now granted, okay, we're a border state, but it's Canada. How many Canadians are flying across the border?
Not too many, probably.
Not too many, okay. So we know the problem's not here, but that said, it is a problem. And it causes problem because then there's people that are suddenly on government programs. Why else would you see promotion in Mexico on, hey, this is how you can get food stamps and welfare when you're in America? That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be doing that. Spend the money you're spending on that to, I don't know, build a fence. Or something.
Get lookouts, you know, get more people to patrol it, you know, 24/7. I mean, you're not going to stop all legal immigration, but you'll stop most of it.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. Now, I'd love to get your angle on this as well, because, you know, and I think, okay, I get it. These are kids that are coming across the border, unattended. You can't just take a kid and go, sorry, you're out of here. There's a kid, you know, nobody's going to stand for that. But $2 million for lawyers for these kids? We know what we need to do with these kids. Supervise them on a flight back home.
Mm-hmm.
Or in a bus back home, wherever it is.
Find out where they came from.
Find out where they came from. Hop a plane. Go there. Drop them off and say, we don't want to see you again. Not unless you do this the legal way. But that's the other part of it. Finding a way to fix legal immigration so you don't have this problem as well. If you make it difficult for somebody to come here legally, well, guess what they're going to do? They're not going to go, oh, well, I didn't really want to go to America anyway. No, they're going to want to come here. And they're going to want to come here any way they could possibly do it. And that's the issue we face with this. It's something we can all unite under. We don't seem to want to do it right now. But I think we all could unite under that idea. Let's fix it. Fix the border. fix immigration, fix all of it so it works, and we don't have these problems of these kids coming around. Now we got to take care of them, figure out what to do with them. It's the bottom line. Give us a call. What do you think about it? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Four degrees in Kalamazoo, 426, the Jeremy Lawrence Show. I'm talking about immigration, getting your thoughts on it as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 80373 if you want to text us, be a part of the program that way. We are going to continue with this, but first we have to take a timeout for traffic. For that, we go to Michael.
Yes, this tip coming in from a texter on northbound U.S. 131 at mile marker 51. The right lane is blocked due to multiple vehicle accidents. Police vehicles are on the scene, so if you can, avoid northbound 131 near mile marker 51 if you can.
And if you're going through that area, definitely be aware the traffic will slow down. There's, I don't know what it is about accidents. People always want to stop and look, and sometimes that causes other accidents. Mm-hmm. So
here, let me get out my iPhone and take a picture of this while I'm driving.
Let's take a picture. Click. And I click. Boom. You know?
Yeah, that'll be the next thing you hear.
Yeah, so not a good idea. But don't do that. Try not to gawk. I know it's stuff to do. It's tough to peel your eyes away.
I just gave people bad ideas.
Yeah, you know. So don't listen to him. Don't listen to me.
Yes, please don't listen to me.
That's probably the best idea there. Anyway, we're talking a little bit about the idea of we're not going to necessarily we're going to relax the deportations and things like that. And I brought up the point of one of the things that people bring up is people that as Americans won't do some of these jobs. We need people to do the jobs. Well, somebody texted in about that. They said, I say that the jobs that they say Americans won't do make it that in order to receive government assistance, you perform those jobs. It's an interesting thought. Part of the system is set up with the idea that you have to apply for certain jobs. You have to do so many a week or otherwise no assistance. Now, the other part of it is, for people that have been long-term unemployed, they don't get unemployment anymore. Maybe if they sign up for welfare, maybe I could see it. Maybe I could see that. But you got to look at it individually, one thing at a time. All right, are they able-bodied? Can they do it? And if they can, okay, great. Well, if they can't, then that's another thing entirely. But I think you got to take it case by case and not necessarily just say, if you're getting assistance, that's the way it is. You got to do these jobs. Now, some of this stuff, I get it. It makes some sense as well. But some of these jobs that they say ordinary Americans won't necessarily do, they're actual jobs. So there's the other part. Maybe we find them the job and say, look, here's your job. Go do it. We check to make sure, all right, they're able-bodied. They're able to do it. They're willing. You got all this stuff. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. You're good. Your job, go. Then we don't have to worry about assistance at all. Just my 2 cents worth on that anyway. You'd still like to chime in on that or anything else that we're talking about? And let me definitely emphasize this. If you hear something that I say and you don't agree with it, you are more than welcome to call as well, because what we're having is a conversation, not necessarily just a speech by Jeremy. Let's not do that. A speech by Jeremy, I'll go run for something. It's easier. But if you disagree, bring up your points. Bring it up and let's talk about it. Maybe I might change my mind. You never know. Been known to consider some different things before. You can give us a call and share your insights if you like. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373. You can text us and be a part of the program as well. Now, someone else has texted in. They just did just a little bit ago. They says the main people who want to change immigration laws are Democrats. Why? Because at that point, if they're successful, they're getting thousands of voters. That's the only reason why. I wouldn't necessarily say that. I'm not from either party. I have not registered with either party, and I don't know. I think you need to change some of them, but you need to change legal immigration laws. Make it easier. People want to come here. We got to make it so that they can come here. We're a nation of immigrants.
Yeah, don't make them wait many, many years before they become a U.S. citizen.
That's a problem in my mind. It's 83 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, the Jeremy Lawrence Show, and that would be, wait a minute. Yeah, that's me. Had to double-check the ID there just to make sure. Well, we've talked about a lot of different things, and certainly immigration is one of those deals that we're going to be able to deal with. Now, someone else mentioned, I think it was the same person, he says, I'm all for legal immigration. What I'm not agreeable to is forgiving those illegal immigrants who are parasites on our society. All right, there you go. That's one thing I think we can all agree on. For the most part. For the most part. But one of the things that I wanted to shift gears on just a little bit, one of the things that Governor Snyder talked about this last week, talking about tuition costs at various universities. Now, in Kalamazoo, you know, I mean, the promise is there, and it's something that students that go to Kalamazoo schools don't have to worry about. It's provided. But not everybody has that to fall back on. And so Governor Snyder was making the point of, you know what, tuition is too expensive at Michigan universities. And in an article on MLive, he was talking a little bit about some of the things that that he's suggesting come back. He talked about apprenticeships, where you get to a program where you start working for a company. They pay you while you work, you alternate going to school, and after 3 years you come out, you've got an associate's degree, they paid for your school, you've got a job. I mean, it works. You know, that's one possibility. And I think, you know, University of Michigan has talked about finding a way to raise $4 billion. They did this late last year. They announced, well, we're going to raise $4 billion to be able to... We'll take $1 billion of that, dedicate it towards student support. We're going to offset the costs, help out with tuition and that kind of thing. Well, I think, you know, there's part of the thing, but here's the other part of it. I think one thing that we need to do, look at the economy the way that it is. You say, but, you know, there's jobs. Jobs are being created. Well, yeah, but it's not keeping up with the population. So, when kids get out of college, they're going to be facing a problem of, okay, how am I going to pay off these loans? What am I going to do? There's no jobs. They'll end up either wrangling shopping carts, flipping burgers, or nothing. And that's pretty bad. You know, if you got a degree, you want to be able to use it. So we got to look at ways to be able to get some jobs going. But even in an economy like this, think about it. Government has at least looked at the idea of cutting costs. Every one of us, you and I, when we look at our budgets, when we look at the money that we spend on this or that, you look for ways to cut costs. When you get into an economy where things are tight and it's rough going, you look for ways to cut costs. Now, some universities have done that, but not all of them have. Ask yourself this question when you think about a university, particularly in these times, just in the last how many years, how many of them are building new buildings? How many of them are new construction project, this or that or the other? Well, you start to wonder, all right, well, where's all the money going? Guess what? Building new buildings. And I understand you want to attract new students, you want to do this and that and the other, but you know what? If you find ways to cut costs, you're going to find ways to be able to keep tuition relatively reasonable. And it's something I don't know. And I'm not pointing at any specific university here. I'm not going, well, this one is guilty of this and this one is not guilty of it. That's not knowledge that I have. But I have seen universities, plural, across the country that have just gone, well, you know what? Students are coming. Student loan money is coming in. And, you know, it's pretty free flowing. So we get all this money coming in. Well, guess what? We can build that new library. We could build that new building for the philosophy department. We could build a new wing for the business department. We could do, I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I understand part of that is, you know, you go out and you raise the money from alumni and that kind of thing. But guess what? Part of that is the money, you know, the money to be able to heat and cool these buildings and, you know, pay for this utility and that utility. Well, alumni don't help you with that. You got to have some sort of a base to work from. So I think that's part of what you need to look at. And, you know, think about this. I can remember what it was for in-state tuition when I was in college, and it was not this cost. In-state tuition at University of Michigan is $13,000, a little over $13,000 a year. $13,000 a year. That's tuition. I could tell you what tuition was when I was in school, and no, I'm not dating myself, because frankly, I've been out about 20 years or so. Tuition was about a third of that. That's the problem right there. How high is this going to go? And it's something that we need to be able to, you know, if these are public universities, we've got to, at the very least, ask that they look at their bottom line and say, you know what, we're going to cut costs as well. We're going to find ways to economize. We're going to find ways to be able to make it easier. Instead of just going, well, we're going to raise tuition because we raise it every year. It's part of the deal. And even when I was in school, I can tell you, they were raising tuition sometimes middle of the year because, well, why not? We'll get more money that way. Why not? What do you think about it? What do you think the solution to all of this is? 382-4280, 877-382-4280, 803-73 if you'd like to text us with your comments. Head over to the phones and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Hey. Yeah, there's a lot of solutions out there. I can't think of the author that I interviewed a couple times, but they talked about, you know, reducing the cost of education, you know, and everybody complains about the cost of financing education, but nobody really talks about the cost of, you know, of the actual education and what you get in return for it. But, you know, my wife paid for her school as she went. And in my opinion, those are the dupes. You know, the people who actually paid for the things that they received, whether it be, you know, their college education or, you know, all the people that wrote down their loans, the people actually paid for their stuff. Those are dupes. And what they should do is just, you know, wait for the government to come bail them out and say, hey, you don't have to pay that education anymore. And there'll be a lot of people who make that argument that, you know, government should in the end, you know, this is step one of the government forgiving all those loans. You know, is what they say, there's $1 trillion sitting out there, and the economic argument is that, you know, those kids won't be able to finance cars or houses in the future, so it's going to stagnate the economy. Mm-hmm. You know, none of these kids thought about, you know, that they were going to go get a degree, and, you know, I listened to one guy, an Occupy Wall Street type, who was complaining about not being able to pay for his education. He had a degree in, a master's degree in puppeteering. So unless he landed a gig with Sesame Street or the Muppets, guess what? He's not going to pay for his degree, and he's mad about it.
Yeah, about the only other thing he could do with a degree like that is go teach other people
how to puppeteer.
About the thing. Yeah, how to puppeteer.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yep. I think that's the one thing that, I mean, how many of these articles we've read over the years, how many of the reports you hear, do they actually talk about, all right, well, where's the money going when you send it off to fill-in-the-blank university? You know, where's the money going for that? What are they spending it on? And shouldn't we expect them to be more fiscally responsible for it and say, you know what? All right, it doesn't cost near as much. So you know what? Tuition's not going to go up this year. I don't think there's a university out there that's willing
to. No. And there's no, you know, aside from a few of the colleges like Hillsdale and, you know, a couple of the other universities, they're not really funded by themselves anyhow. They're funded, and you know, for the most part, by grants by the state or federal government. And and so the cost of their product is not related to the market. You know, so if you're going to earn $60,000, well, let's use teaching as a marker here. So you've got a student that's going to make, you know, $30,000 or, you know, somewhere around there as a professional teacher. What does it cost to get the degree, and what would that payment be? Does that equation make sense? Like if I'm going to buy a house, you know, I'm going to buy a house, it's worth X, and this is how much I got to pay a month, and is it worth, you know, how much I put into it?
Right.
That's a real simple equation. Well, a lot of these kids don't have that mathematics when they're, you know, trying to figure out what degree they're going to get, whether it's, you know, puppeteering or teaching or, you know, even an engineer. Mm-hmm. You know, does the degree merit the payoff?
Well, it's the old age-old idea of counting the cost to be able to say, all right, what is it worth it paying the money? On the other side, will I have enough income coming in?
Yes. No, the shims are staying. Sorry, guys. Hey, I got to let you go.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Thanks, Chris, for the conversation. Appreciate that. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. But that's the thing. It's the age-old thing of counting the cost and knowing that in certain areas, you know what, if I'm going to go get a degree in puppeteering or whatever, I mean, throw in the field. You're going to be a philosophy major. Yeah, you're going to end up being a bartender probably, unless you end up teaching it in college. Which, if you want to teach it in college, knock yourself out.
The same thing goes if you're getting like a political science degree. You probably might end up teaching it, and that might be about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, if you'd like to be a part of this and talk a little bit about it, because I think in as much as we've talked about, well, college loans, we got to make it so that, you know, it's easier to get loans and it's easier to do this. And we've got to, and if you've got universities saying, well, we've got to get, you know, offset our costs, here's an idea. How about you get some money and then lower the costs? You know, go out and get your alumni to say, look, you know, all right, we'll step up, we'll help out, we'll do some scholarships, we'll do whatever, and then lower your costs. Lower the cost for, I mean, if tuition for University of Michigan is coming in for the year at just over $13,000. That's a pretty big deal. And this is a state university.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell you, I paid less than that. I went to a private university and paid less than that to do private college. Now, that was 20 years ago, of course. But that's a ridiculous cost. And we need to be asking our universities, all right, how are you spending the money? Are you spending it on teaching? Are you spending it on research? Are you spending it on, or are you spending it on a new fountain for your new display so that alumni would be impressed? Are you spending it on new buildings so that this happens or that happens? You know, sometimes it's being real good at using the old stuff that's sitting around. And if you're growing, great. Okay, I'm with you. But find ways to do it reasonably so that you're not just sitting here going, well, we're going to raise the tuition because it hasn't been done in, oh, let's see, 6 months. We're going to do it again. And you know what? People will pay us because, well, if they can't afford it, they'll just get a loan.
Yeah, they're in the middle of their education. They're not just going to quit school all of a sudden.
Yeah, which it used to be people would do that. Well, I'll put a pause on it, go back to work, and they're going, I get that. But now it's this sense of, oh, I'll just get a loan. There needs to be responsibility all the way around, and I think we need to ask that of our universities. It's something that's not been part of the equation to this point. 4:56, it's 82 degrees in Kalamazoo. Talking about universities, the amount of money that's been spent on them last week. You know, Governor Snyder said something about, you know what, tuition is too expensive. And I got to say, I agree. Someone else kind of agreed with the sentiment as well as they texted in at 80373. They said, a woman on WIC is only allowed to buy certain things for her and her family with that assistance. The government should only allow certain classes that will actually make a person usable in society and able to support themselves. Only allow government loans for classes that will allow them to support themselves. Interesting concept. Because if they're going to offer you a loan, it's the whole idea of being usable and taxable. Particularly from a government perspective, they want you to be able to be taxable and have a taxable income. Now, does that mean that they're going to say, well, you know what? If your passion is psychology, well, we don't really need you to be a psychologist. We need you to be an engineer. That might get, you might go a little too far the other direction that way. That said, if you've got somebody that's majoring in Sanskrit, then, yeah, you're going to have a little discussion there. Say, look, at least go undecided for the first couple of years. Study something, you know, but something besides that anyway. You know, so there might be some wisdom to the idea of saying, well, wait a minute, if we're going to loan you money, we want to see a little something else. We want to see a little something that is actually going to be usable, engineering or something like that. Of course, they might have said to me, well, you're studying communications. I mean, come on, what are you doing that for? So it's possible to take that a little too far, but I think the big part of the whole equation has been missed by everyone. Instead of the idea of, well, let's come up with this program or that program to help people with the cost of college, how about we go to the universities and say, let's look at your budget. And if it's a private university, that's your business. But you know what? If public dollars are going into that university, guess what? We're going to sit down, we're going to take a look at the books, and we're going to say, all right, looks like you're wasting some money over here. Looks like you're wasting it over here. Or looks like you're not spending enough right there. Because in some cases, you know that's going to happen. More money is going to be spent on, well, let's take our students to China to study archaeology there. Well, okay, that might be useful, but there's definitely archaeological digs in everybody's backyard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So why not try that? Or, you know, use some of that money that you were going to take to take all these kids to China and, well, I don't know, do something else with it. Lower the cost of tuition, for example.
Yeah.
You know, throw that into the scholarship fund so eventually you got a huge scholarship fund that you can hand out to people. There's another way. I don't know. But there's ways to do it. And I think it's called holding universities as accountable as we do anything else. It's my 2 cents worth. Going to do it for the program today. You know what? Tomorrow we're going to get together and do it all over again, 3 o'clock. Hope you'll join us. Until then, have a great Monday. Try not to think about it, though.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.